Ciao, this is Richard from Lacuna Coil, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast.
Hi, this is Mike.
Hi there, this is Dave.
Hi, this is Todd.
And hi, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Coil community. It is a sticky, sticky day in June, and it is also episode 171 of the Empty Spiral podcast.
Which is probably the temperature.
Which it probably feels like the temperature.
It's 117.
Yeah. It's either the temperature or how I feel in terms of age today. So I reckon if you added all of our ages together, it probably would come to something around 171, something like that. Anyway, without wanting to be too ageist. Anyway, here we are. We are gathered here to talk about Lacuna Coil like we always do. Let's get a bit of a check-in. Dave, how are you, sir? What have you been up to?
Melting.
Melting.
I'm melting in the heat. I've been trying to plant out some pumpkins, and I have to bring
this
up.
Is that a euphemism, by the way?
We had this here as well.
Just
I suddenly
dodgy.
Remembered I was said about planting out pumpkins, and you go about the euphemism. Like, no, this is genuine planting pumpkins and beans and other vegetables in our allotment. So I'm just hoping that
sounds very good life,
basically, because it's using up all the water. Starting to bring stuff from home as well. It's not just rainwater, it's sort of running out of quickly. The ground scorched, some of the leaves are scorched. So it's just fingers crossed now. But, you know, I need my pumpkin pie.
God help the pumpkins. Let's take a moment for the pumpkins. Yeah. All right. So what you need to do, of course, is not drink any water and just use all the water that you
turn into a pumpkin.
Yeah, at least just feed your pumpkins. Is this like a Halloween gig?
Yeah, well, no, it's just a homegrown veg kind of thing. Right. We've done all my life.
Oh, my Felicity Kendall. That's all I have to say to that.
Yes.
All right. That's an English joke for people that are over 50, I suspect. So, very few people are going
to the good life.
Yeah, the good life. Mike, how are you? What are you up to?
Good, yes.
Or should I say, buonasera?
Yeah, buonasera, indeed. So, as you both know, I go to Italy a lot. So, I was there 2 weeks ago. But about a month ago, I actually spent time planting pumpkins, funnily.
Yay!
Right. So, I don't know about you, Tom, but I'm feeling left out in this whole pumpkin extravaganza right now.
My other half volunteered us to plant a whole field's worth of pumpkins.
So I think I saw a random picture on Instagram of that.
Yes, there's about 370 metres worth.
No, that is impressive.
In the blistering sun. And they're already growing because the Italian climate's amazing. So they've already started, which is good. So there's pumpkins, watermelons, potatoes in that field. But we did most of the pumpkins, so.
Right.
You know, when I started this podcast today, I was not expecting us to be having a conversation about pumpkins.
Just a pumpkin cast.
Not so much a podcast as a...
Pumpkin
seed. I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm just going to get up on that one. Yeah. All right. And we're joined today by Todd. So, how are you, Todd? How you been?
I'm good. If some you may know me as For the Doggies and Guitars. If I've met a lot of people here and there in the last 15 years being with a Lacuna Coil fan. I'm out in Phoenix, Arizona, and to take Dave's theme, I'm actually walking and melting. I was walking my dogs this morning. It was 45 degrees Celsius. I don't know. That's about 95. And I had this little a parrot in back. Walking and melting. Like the parrot. You know what I mean?
So
we're not growing pumpkins. But I've been listening to Billy Corgan and the Smashing Pumpkins, and
there we go.
I have to take away from this podcast, but he has an amazing podcast that everyone should check out.
We'll definitely do that.
Yeah,
and I'm the one that doesn't have a pumpkin related story, so I'm definitely feeling like an edgelord right now.
You had any pumpkin soup or anything?
I'm not even a big fan of pumpkin soup. Pie I had once before; it was quite nice. Mostly tasted of cinnamon to me.
Pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, do you know what? Actually, no, you are right. You are right. Pumpkin, roasted pumpkin seeds.
The best.
They're a good snack. They're a good snack. I do like that. But again, it's been a long, long time.
I'll tell you one thing I did make at the end of last year was a pumpkin cheesecake, which was a new thing for me. And it was wonderful.
Now you're just being weird.
Yeah.
That's genuinely lovely.
It's rocked up and ruined a perfectly good cheesecake by shoving pumpkin at it. That's just, what are you doing, mate? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway. This is not
enough pumpkins.
It's a Good Life pumpkin special, obviously.
I still think we have a few months of pumpkins. So
I think we've got at least a few hours worth of conversation about pumpkins. We've got that left in us. But I tell you what, let's move on to something a bit different, shall we? At least until someone reintroduces pumpkin seeds back into the conversation. Let's talk a little bit about Lacuna Coil. That's what we're going to talk about, right? So we've got a few bits of news, a few bits of discussion to come up in this episode. I guess we should talk about Christina's birthday, which is just gone.
Uh-huh.
Dave, do you want to kind of give us a bit of a summary of all the activity and a bit of a view?
Yeah, well, as is become tradition now, the Coiler and Snailian communities tend to all get in the mixing pot of ideas and throw some ideas around in the months leading up to Cree's birthday to have some kind of collaborative effort to present to her, to make a sort of party, an online party. So this year there was a few things that happened. There was a rather lovely printed blanket that was made Caron, who did the printing at home, in actual fact. So we collated a load of fan photos, a lot of fans with Christina, and amassed them onto this blanket. Somnus also did some artwork of characters like Darth Vader, Stormtroopers, obviously, to put on there as well. And printed this rather lovely fleece blanket.
I'm sure she's making great use of that today.
Yeah. Yes, I mean it's a bit unseasonal, but it's ready for the winter.
Nice.
She can snuggle up to us in the winter.
Oh, that's both cool and a little bit creepy, but
it is, isn't it? Yes.
Amazing.
And there was also this rather wonderful it was fairly basic, but it's this wonderful computer game that Mila managed to create. It's fairly short. And involves, if you've ever joined in Cree's Twitch streams in the chat, there's like the automatic moderator called Nightbot.
Yes.
Who very, very frequently bans people and gives them timeout for
things like, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, for using caps or too many exclamation marks and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I've been banned a few times for putting more than one exclamation mark.
He's a nightmare. Nightmare Nightbot. So she used that character as the basis for this computer game that Cree battles and fights when you've got a choice of a huge sword or a lightsaber.
Of course.
And sort of slicing through.
Not an exclamation mark, like a massive exclamation mark you could use.
That would have been even better, wouldn't it?
Next year, I suppose, wouldn't it?
So you can sort of log in and play this game. It'll only take a few minutes, but it's a good giggle. It's really well done.
Oh, that's really cool. And, is it still available for live people as well, to play? So. Is it still available?
As far as I know, yes. Yeah, we'll get a link sorted.
Oh, yeah, we'll get a link in the show notes so people can rock up and play the Beat Up the Nightbot game. That sounds pretty cool, That's awesome.
And the other thing was a song that a group of us got together to write. Now this is going back,
wasn't happy birthday then,
years
because as long as the Guns N' Roses record.
It was getting for Chinese democracy status. At the tail end of 2021 we had some messages toing and froing in the chat, and then we set up a separate group to talk about this and say, wouldn't it be a good idea if the members of the Snailian family would collaborate, and we'll see if we can write a song together to celebrate the Twitch community and Cree's streaming. The premise was that it was going to be called Rejoice in the Madness, because that's the motto, the mantra. Which we did, but and ideas were sort of toing and froing. And you know how life gets in the way of progress. So it did drag its heels somewhat, but we finally got it all finished. And
I imagine you guys have a little bit more sympathy for artists that take 5 years to create an album now, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, you, as a fan, you'd be sitting there thinking, well, my favourite band's taken more than a year. What on earth are they playing at?
Exactly.
How dare they? But yes, the process is evolved, especially because this was a truly worldwide collaboration. You know, we got literally all over the globe. So the time difference.
Making it sound like a Live Aid event.
Like, it was like a mini Live Aid, yes.
We are the children. Yeah, okay.
we got this song sorted, she seemed to appreciate the effort, certainly.
And was this like a one-off event, or is it a YouTube?
I think we're going
on tour, aren't we?
We're going on tour, yes. Yeah, we'll put the band together, shall we?
Getting the band together. I gotta admit though, when I finally heard the final product, it really blew me away, the production wise. The guitar playing, just the whole song was just, everybody did a wonderful job.
It was
so cool to actually hear it finally, and it was worth the wait.
That is awesome. Is it on YouTube?
It is on YouTube, and it is also on all the streaming services.
Can we share a link with the listeners?
We'll share links, yes, absolutely. But look out for it. I mean, you know, Spotify, Deezer.
Yeah, well, we can share the links to the streaming services as well, right?
Yeah, Apple Music. It's also available for free download on Bandcamp. If you want an actual permanent copy, you can get the MP3 as well.
Wow. Okay. So this is some seriously available and professional sounding stuff then. So people got no excuses not to listen to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was some amazing talent, and it was just amazing how the talent came together and everybody worked, and we did a lot of it over WhatsApp app, and yep. it just took a while. It came together fairly quickly. It was the recording process that just, you know, took so long.
Next time get Mackie to do it for you.
Mackie can, we'll knock it out in 2 hours.
I'll tell you what, I came this close to like giving in, saying, right, we're going to have to get professionals in here.
It always amazes me the sheer amount of work that goes into Christina's birthday every year from the Snaidian community. I mean, it's inspiring and also a little bit terrifying, because I kind of go, what are you going to do in 2026 to beat a record that took 4 years to create and a blanket and a computer game? Where is this actually going to go, right? Because I'm... The imagination and the sheer effort that's put in is just, quite frankly, astonishing. So round of applause to everybody involved in that, for sure.
Yeah. Amazing. That's what I was thinking too. I mean, like the first couple of years, and then last year, we've been happy birthday. And then the blanket was amazing. There's just so much to it. I mean, I think next year we're all going to go to Mars and sing happy birthday or something.
No? I think that's what you're going to have to do. Do you want yourself into space and send a message or something there? That's so cool. And if anybody listening has kind of gone, oh my God, I so wanted to be part of that, but I wasn't because I wasn't in the right place or didn't hear about it, what's the best way for someone to get involved?
I would say subscribe to Christina's Twitch.
Okay.
Most things come out in the chat, because we're not just commenting on what she's doing at the time. There's conversations always going on.
Isn't there a risk that she finds out about this prematurely, or does that not matter?
No, it's very rare. I mean, you don't have to say exactly at that point, you know, out loud what the exact plans are, just in case she reads it. It's like, guys, do you want to get together? Shall we do a separate WhatsApp group? Do you want to join in? Do you want to go on the Discord server? You know, join us over there so we can have a forum for ideas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, using the Empty Spiral website as well, mm-hmm. as a sort of meeting ground. Someone might start a separate Instagram group as well. in the direct messages. Mm-hmm. So the birthing of ideas is always normally through the chat on a Twitch. And then we'll sort it out amongst ourselves where to meet and what to discuss.
I mean, to be quite frank, if you're not already in Christina's chat, you really need to be, right? You know, follow her on Twitch, right? There's no real excuses. Who's listening to this podcast and not in Christina's Twitch channel? You know, I feel like there can't be many people listening to us and yet not hanging out with Cree while she's playing games and talking and stuff. It feels a bit. But so anyway, but if you're one of the three people globally that are listening to this podcast and not in Christina's Twitch stream, then I suggest you head straight over to Christina's Twitch. We can put a link in case you're not already, and you can join her, subscribe, and be part of that, because there's always a lot going on when she's streaming, right? And obviously for the last couple of months she's not been streaming much because of course she's been on tour, which we'll come on to a minute, but now, well, they're about to go to festivals, but there are these little windows where you'll get to see her every, you know, once or twice a week, so that's pretty darn cool. Yeah, so we were just saying that the festival season has started, right? The European Festival, quite a few diverse ones this year, right? All over the place. I was just looking at the list of locations over the last couple of days as I was basically having to make sure that everything I put onto Empty Spiral was correct, because they don't always tell me. They're just kind of one day like, oh, now we're going there. Like, oh, great, thanks for
coming. Yeah, like Moldova. They've never played Moldova. Not Moldova, Macedonia.
Macedonia. Never played Macedonia.
I was thinking of Macedonia and then said Moldova. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they are really all over the place. I mean, from now, you know, they're at the end of this month, they're in Estonia. Then they're playing over in Italy, Greece, Croatia. We've got, they're playing on Bloodstock here in the UK, which I'm missing, which is annoying. Then Germany, France, Turkey. They're playing Aftershock in Sacramento in the US. So that's a bit of a zoom.
Fly in and out, yeah.
Fly in and out. And that takes them through to the beginning of October, and then middle of October, they've got their European tour, which takes them all the way through to December. You know, I can't think when they had a more busy post-album release run.
Well, they really are hitting the touring hard, certainly.
They are, aren't they? I mean, obviously, we know that poor old Black Anima lost out because of COVID and stuff.
Kind of nicely did, though, didn't they? Because we got a tour in March and September that year, and they hammered it.
Yeah, I just don't feel like it's been quite as intense as this, right?
They've never done Europe for so many dates for forever.
Long 20 years, maybe. Yeah, it's been a very long time. I mean, I could add stuff up, but I'm too lazy. I'm just subjective. I'm just going to assume it's a lot because it feels like a lot. You know?
Yeah.
That's very cool. Is anybody managing to get to any of these dates? Bloodstock? Is anybody going to Bloodstock?
Yeah. I'm booked in for Bloodstock.
Yeah, see, Bloodstock, I'm going to be in Bath.
Bath?
Bath.
Having a
You're
going to
be having
Bath.
A bath?
No, I'm going to be in Bath.
In
the city of Bath.
Having a laugh?
No, I'm going to be watching Death at Pemberley on stage, okay? I mean, I don't get me wrong, it's fine. I'm looking forward to it. You know me, as I've admitted before on this podcast, I've got a bit of a guilty pleasure of Jane Austen, and this is obviously a kind of a independently written what came after Pride and Prejudice, if you don't know. It's like a murder mystery, Death at Pemberley. Pemberley's where Darcy and Lizzie... Anyway, I won't get into that. But I'm going there because we're kind of stopping off when we come back from Wales, which is where we're going on holiday this year. And I'm like, this is really cool. I know, I wish I was a Bloodstock. But anyway, so you're going to have to enjoy Lacuna Gore for me, guys.
We will.
On the subject of tours,
yes.
We've got a couple more bits to talk about before we speak at length with Todd here. But Mike, you got some shows in the US, didn't you?
Yes. Two. Originally planned more, but plans, as always, are fluid and change. So. Yep. Mm-hmm. I ended up at Brooklyn, at the Brooklyn Paramount. That was a very, very old theatre. I was speaking to security in the day, and It's only just had a refit a year ago, but it's from the 1920s, maybe earlier.
Right.
It's stunning, the building. So went there, did the VIP, I saw Lacuna Coil, saw some of In Flames, didn't see Machine Head because we went to Duff's. And then...
Yeah, to what?
Duff's after the show.
Oh, Duff's. I thought you said you had Duff's. I was like, oh, you...
No. Okay. We went to Duff's, so as we all do after the show, after a Brooklyn show.
Yeah.
And Anders from In Flames was there. Rob from Machine Head came with his shotgun blasting you whiskey that was about to be released. So we gave that to everyone. And Damien Priest, a WWE wrestler, was in the audience who tagged Cree on Instagram. So he came to Duff's as well with, I assume, some security with him. But he's a lot bigger than me, so he really didn't need any security. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we were there for, well, till the night was young.
Classic Duff's night until...
So I did that show, and then a couple of days after, went up to Reading, Pennsylvania. So did that, walked around Reading, Pennsylvania, a small little place. Mm-hmm.
That's where all the Amish are.
Oh, we didn't see any Amish there.
We
saw, I don't know, random people.
Pretty normal in a place you don't know.
We didn't have a hotel for that. We were kind of on the fly with it, thinking, should we get a hotel on the outskirts? But then there was a Hilton directly opposite the venue. So we just walked into the Hilton Doubletree, booked a room. Perfect. So watched the call and then chilled out, met Mackie, Cree and Richard.
Did you not stay for any of the Machine Head stuff then? I was kind of surprised. Given you only told two shows, did you not?
Yeah. It kind of circumstance was, Duff's first night, Reading, we messaged the guys and had dinner. So another time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get a chance, I suppose. And
Yeah, exactly.
And how long were Lacuna Coil on for?
9 songs, so 45 minutes.
That's not bad.
Well, of the days of old, when they used to do an hour, bang on, it's pretty much...
That's a headline tour, right? You know,
exactly.
Christ, like,
I Wish You Were Dead, I've recorded. So I think I recorded that at Brooklyn, so we can put that in the show notes.
Cool.
Did the video of that, so yeah, all good. New stuff sounds great, as always.
Highlights?
I think that, I Wish You Were Dead, I think it's a really good live. It's...
I can imagine it's a real... party.
Did you dance?
No, not really. Nobody.
What is it? I mean,
the Wish You Were Dead dance.
That's a hard dance.
Yeah, we were at the front. It was pretty busy. No.
Well, if you're going to be dancing, that's the place to be. No one wants to see you dancing at the back, right?
Yeah, it was strange. The Reading show, because it was in an arena, because obviously Machine had booked it, but it was like, this is the town where there's not a lot there, and then a great big arena that holds like over 10,000, I think.
Was it probably a sports arena?
Presumably. I think so. Yeah. They were playing, and it was just weird, the vibe of the gig, because it was such a big... I've never seen them in an arena show. I think the only thing it could come close to is when we saw them at Ali Pali.
I was going to say Alexandra Palace is pretty big. The main
one. Yeah, it was similar to that. Yeah. But just a strange setup. Because they're like one of the first bands. There was second band on, and not everybody had arrived. So it's an arena floor area, and it's not even a quarter full at that point, which is a shame. But yeah, plenty of Lacuna Coil fans there. And
that's good. That's good.
A lot of new fans as well on both shows when they asked. It's interesting to see. There's, I think the new album has pulled in a lot of new people, which is...
Well, I mean, that's also why you go on a tour with Machine Head, right?
Yeah. It's dip your toe in before a headline tour, isn't it?
Yeah. Amazing. That's really good.
All good. Two shows, but two shows is better than no shows on a trip, so...
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Well. One show is better than none, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Good job. I guess the final bit of news we have, we don't think it's news anymore, but what was it, 2 years ago? I feel like it was 2 years ago. I remember the day... because I was in Italy when they announced that they were
going to... Yeah, you were live. Yeah.
I was live. I was playing Zombicide with them. And then they went, we've got to go live on YouTube to talk about Zombicide. And I'm like, what? Kind of surreal is this? But yeah, we were playing Zombicide at Mackie's place. And And then Andy and Cree came over and I explained the rules again. And then we played it. Place was Black Plague, this one was actually. And that was when, actually, I did know because he was like, oh, have you seen this? And then I saw it on his computer and they had the kind of the promo and it was a, you know, the beginning of Never Dawn and all the graphics. And I was like, again, two parts of my life clash, you know, my board gaming life and the Lacuna Coil life. And as you know, if anybody can see my background, can see there's loads of board games behind me, as there always is. And I was like, oh my God, you're going to be on Zombicide? How does that work?
Matt's perfect storm.
Yeah, it was an absolute perfect storm. And then we had a bit of an argument of whether you pronounce it come on or Simon. It's Simon. I was right, by the way. So it's short for call mini or not, but you pronounce it Simon. Just in case anybody needs to be educated, I've just Matt explained it to you. Matt explained. But anyway, Zombicide White Death has just hit people's, well, I won't say inboxes, and I certainly won't say letterboxes because the box is huge. But yeah, people who pledged in the Kickstarter a couple of years ago, they should now be receiving it. I got mine, I'd say 3 weeks ago now. Dave, you got yours, right?
Yep. Yep.
I've undercoated my miniatures. That's a start, isn't it? They're on a shelf over there. I've undercoated Lacuna Coil. They're ready to be painted. I just haven't got around to it yet. It's just
no, I've looked at mine. I haven't even undercoated yet. In fact, I haven't even bought the undercoat ready yet.
Ah, well, there you go. It's a big investment getting into miniature painting. There's a lot of things you need to buy.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to giving up. But I might, Joe, I'm free this weekend. You never know. You might see some little tiny painted Lacuna Coil 28 mil miniatures posted on Instagram soon. And I generally do want to like play them in a game versus zombies. I think that's gonna be a lot of fun. So, and the nice part about Zombicide is it's all compatible with each other. So if you're, you know, there's loads of different types of Zombicide, including Modern Day One and Zombicide in Space and Medieval One and a Wild West One. There's loads of them. So you can change the theme and I'm pretty sure you'll be able to play your Italian friends, Christina with her sorceress powers and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. If I do get around to playing them, I'll post some pictures. I'll post some pictures for sure.
Yeah. Everything is different today. I like it, like it.
Hi, Todd. Good for you to join us. Tell you, you mentioned you're from Arizona, and it's melting.
Chicago over, originally, but yeah.
So you settled in the hot desert.
Yes. Yeah, I melt. Yeah.
Well, I shall leave you to do most of the talking, but perhaps you can just give us a quick introduction about yourself, and more importantly, how you got into Lacuna Coil.
Great questions. Well, I grew up in Chicago and got into bands and music as 15. So I'm a little older. I'm 51 years old. So I got to experience the 90s, which was just totally awesome. And I went to college in Las Vegas, played with some pretty good regional bands throughout the years, opening up for a lot of good acts. Knew about Lacuna Coil, and right when they came out with Heaven's Lie, and I really liked the single, but I did not catch on to them till 2016 with the Delirium record. So where I was musically between those 15 years, all over the place. So I'm eccentric as far as a musician goes. I did music for a long time. I put out a lot of records, da 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 da. But I first saw, I'm not a late bloomer. I was always a fan of Lacuna Coil, but did not see them till Chicago show on May 31st, 2016, Delirium tour.
In between that first hearing the Heaven's a Lie and the Delirium, were you still listening to the band here and there?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I definitely like, you know, they had the I Like It was a song that just that's what really got me into it. The song I Like It, and I still, that's my number one song. It's just
very uplifting chorus.
Some say it's poppy, some you know, I thought it was perfect. I love the video too. I just love
best, best video ever.
Yeah.
Strange video.
Oh yeah, that was crazy.
Very strange, but I loved it. I loved it. So yeah. So the funny, real quick story about that. Delirium came out. I just moved back to Chicago. It's funny. I was going to meet my second wife, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to come and visit for a couple weeks, and then move in." And next thing I know, I'm going. She's driving me to a Lacuna Coil show, and we almost missed the show because the traffic. I'm like, "No, we got to get there. I got to see this." And it was a rough day for me because I lost my dog 12 years. And that's how I kind of connected actually with Christina that night after the show. We talked, and she was so gracious. That's one thing about Lacuna Coil. They're just so open, friendly. The friendliest, if you're going to meet, do a meet and greet or whatever, the band, that's the band to do it with. I mean, they take their time. They love their fans. So we just started talking, and actually we DM'd through Instagram, which was still kind of new at the time. And then we've been kind of a little bit friends since then. And that Delirium was that record. Loved that record. And then I've seen every show ever since, from 2016 up to now, either at the club, and I did a festival in Vegas, which – at my age, when you're a little older, the festivals get a little harder, you know, because I was at Woodstock 94. Okay, so that was like 21 when I still had the, you know.
Still got energy.
When you still got energy and Lollapalooza. And speaking of festivals, I mean, that was like really the first festival that came into the United States was Lollapalooza, following all the European festivals. So I found that really interesting. So I did all those festivals. Now I go to see the bands, and there's just like four bands that I will go see religiously, and Lacuna Coil obviously is one of those bands. So I have not missed the show in Arizona and sometimes Las Vegas in the last 11 years.
So how many shows have you seen in total now?
12 shows, as far as Lacuna Coil goes. Yeah.
Pretty
maybe
good.
More. Yeah. I might have got one. Yeah, since the Delirium record, you know. So
you've done some of the meet and greets as well.
I've done a lot of meet and greets, and actually, I've met him without meet and greets. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you know how that goes, hanging out. And everybody's always been super nice. You know, I actually met you guys in Mesa, Matt.
Yeah.
And Mike, and that was a good time. After
yeah.
A lot of times after the show, people hang out by the tour bus, obviously, and come out and say hello and hang out, and sometimes even go somewhere and get a beer, you know. That's
and
then you become a common face in the crowd, and they, I think they really appreciate their hardcore fans. And like I said, I became a hardcore fan after that Bottom Lounge show in Chicago, May 31st. I will never forget that show because my dog died that day, and that was a hard experience. And like, I can't miss this show. And it was great. It was great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I loved it. So I just, go ahead.
So I was going to say, what do you think of the recent tour? That
the recent tour, I really think the last two records, they've had a resurgence. I see it here in America. I see it, you know, like I said, I was walking out in, well, actually Mexico, like I was telling you earlier, 3 weeks ago with my Lacuna Coil hoodie on, and this Spanish guy go, "Oh, Lacuna Coil, Lacuna Coil." And we ended up talking for 45 minutes just about music and Exodus and all the bands back in the day. And he's gone to see Lacuna Coil. So there's a big connection there. And I really see a resurgence with this Sleepless Empire album. I talk to a lot of younger people, not younger, but like in their 30s, 40s. Oh, I love them. And the crowds are bigger. And I hope they come back around again. I know they open up for Machine Head, who I like. But like I said, Lacuna Coil, as Mike was saying, did 9 songs. And I was like, come on, I would love to have an hour and a half. That whole Sleepless Empire from songs 1 to 11 are just bangers, you know. So I'm hoping they come back and just do their headlining show. I'm hoping for that.
A full playthrough of the Sleepless Empire record, that would be good, actually, wouldn't it?
I mean, it's solid production. I know the last two records, I mean, Black Enema and Sleepless Empires, I'm just solid production. As being a musician, just listening to, I have two sets of ears. I have musician ears that really listen for production, and then I just have fan ears. I'm like, oh, that's the catchy one. You know what I mean, as far as that goes. And there is a resurgence in the U.S. for Lacuna Coil, and I hope they definitely come back and headline sooner than later.
Not sure.
That's good to hear.
Sooner than later. I feel like, you know, it was four bands on the bill, all Flames.
On Earth were the opener, weren't they?
On Earth. That wasn't for me, honestly.
It wasn't for me either. They played half an hour, and it was half an hour too long.
Yeah, I was out having a piece of pizza, and then they came on and they killed it, dude. I was just like, wow. That was probably the second or third time they played "I Wish You Were Dead," and it sounded really good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I actually told Christina, I don't know, your sound guys changed or whatever, but it sounded so clear. And I was also at the Van Buren, which has pretty good, great sound. And it was great. It was just, and I, like I said, I hope they come back before the year's over. I'd love to see them live headline play an hour 45, like all bands should. Good band, amazing bands. You know, I want to hear the whole record. Honestly,
it's shame actually, because both of you guys missed the show, and I think it was only the very last show of that US tour where they all played the collaboration song that Machine Head wrote, These Stars Won't Define Us, and they brought Cree and Andy out on stage to join in on that.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah,
so must have been amazing to see.
I didn't see that. I know she did with the tour before with Apocalyptica. I can't pronounce it.
Apocalyptica.
Yeah. They also were headliners, which I'm telling you, when I see Lacuna Coil, I want to see them on. I want to see them headlining. They should be headlining all the shows.
I don't think you're gonna get any disagreement from us.
When they come, I get a little bummed that they're not headlining, and I'm hoping the next run around, like I said, and repeat it one more time. I want them to headline, because honestly, when they headline, they actually brought some cool bands that I don't know, or like I learned about Birthday Massacre. I never knew about them, and Stitched Up Heart, you know. Mm. So there's some bands they bring in that you might like. You know what I mean? It's
Good introduction
to other bands too.
That Birthday Massacre, Lacuna Coil.
Oh, it's incredible. I'd never seen them before. Amazing. We saw 7 shows.
Birthday Massacre's got some new stuff out. I just love it. So, you know,
I'm a bit annoyed actually, because Birthday Massacre have announced a UK tour for later in the year, and they're playing my local venue when I'm seeing Lacuna Coil.
Yeah. I saw that they were.
The gig clashes are so frustrating.
I know. Yeah, I saw that they had a tour coming up, and it was clashing with the Lacuna Coil tour.
You guys, I'm jealous actually of you guys in London. I mean, I wish I could just fly out there and CL, when they did that whole, what you did, Dave, you put that whole video together. It was so cool. All the shows they played in London, what, a couple months ago on that. That was pretty cool, actually. And then they did the CD release somewhere in London at a record store that looked really fun.
The HMV. Yeah.
HMV, yeah,
yeah,
we were there for that.
You guys got, you have it very good in London when it comes to Lacuna Coil.
There's zero influence. I can tell you that for nothing. Zero influence. I don't know where.
Well, having said that, they're not playing London on this upcoming November tour, though, are they?
They are not, no, for the first time in a long time. I must have pissed them off about something. So.
Yeah, it's a B-tour, though, isn't it? So they did the major cities the last time. So.
Yeah.
Don't need to play London twice on the tour.
I think I might have complained too much about how expensive parking is.
Yeah, you got to Brighton instead.
Not as expensive as Cardiff.
They need to stop taking me seriously when I make these pithy comments.
I think we should all do a, you know, what do you call that? You know, do something so they all. What am I thinking of? When you go around and sign,
petition.
Yeah, petition for Lacuna Coil to do a headlining tour with this record.
It's solid. Start to finish.
Give Mackie a call, like, hey, let's do it.
I'll send him a message later, I'm sure.
Yeah. I was really surprised they weren't headlining with this record, how good it was or is. You know,
I guess the thing is, when you think about it, the preparing a tour, like the Machine Head tour, that would have taken, that would be months in advance, long before Sleepless Empire was out. Probably being talked about before it was even finished, right? So, you know, it takes a long time to bring these things together. Knowing the way they structure their cycle, I'm kind of expecting them to be doing a US tour, possibly headlining between March and May next year.
They always come to Phoenix and because they're smart in March and April before the.
Whereas they always come to the UK in November and then complain about the weather.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, even though they did not headline, I met a bunch of, I was wearing my Lacuna Coil shirt, and there's some hardcore Machine Head bands, and they were actually pretty open. They liked Lacuna Coil. So, you know, there's a lot of Machine Head fans that didn't know who Lacuna Coil is. So they make more fans. So
There definitely is an overlap between Machine Head fans and Lacuna Coil fans. And I think it's because.
Yeah.
Because of the clean vocals you get in Machine Head as well. You get there's a lot of melody in Machine Head, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you get clean vocals and you get growl vocals and you get heavy bass and you get melody. And I think there's an overlap there.
It was so weird at the Brooklyn show. I just remembered that after Lacuna Coil played, I tried to get off the barrier to let Machine Head fans on. And there were that many people trying to get into my space, they then wouldn't let me move. So I just said, for fuck's sake, if you want me to move out of the way, because I cannot climb over you all. And then eventually, they started pushing me. And I'm just like, I'm doing you a favor here. I'm moving so that you can move onto the barrier and move forwards. And it's just like, come on, you use your common sense.
They're hardcore.
The
name drop, I could name drop all day, but my ex-girlfriend's brother's best friends with Rob from Machine Head.
Uh-huh.
He's a cool guy, and they've been doing it for a long time. And when you do it for a long time, you go from tier to tier to tier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's tiers to this music industry. Some go up, some go down. And the thing about Lacuna Coil is these last 6 years since, you know, I became a fan, honestly, in 2016, I liked the in between 2003 and 16, but I just think they're still going, man. I think they're like still fine wine. They're fine wine. And I think with Mackie producing the songs, it sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Do you have a favorite album in terms of like production from your? I suppose you have two favorite albums. Have you got a fan favorite and a musician favorite?
Okay. The fan favorite has to go with Shallow Life, you know, just with the, because that's really got, but the I Like It on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just the fan favorite. As far as a listener, I thought it was Black Enema. I'm like, oh, wow. And then they did Sleepless Empire. As far as musician ears go, a 5-star album. Best. It's not going to beat anything else. I don't think so in this genre that's going to come out the rest of the year. So, yeah, Sleepless Empire is, as far as musician ears, to me, is flawless. And from The Siege to Never Dawn, and just, you know. It's great.
Absolutely no filler.
No. And that was the thing, you know. They were, and they did it the right way. They were releasing a couple here and there, hosting The Shadows, and, you know, in the meantime. And the money, you got The Siege and Oxygen, which I think we're going to talk about in a bit. Yeah, I just love this album. When I heard it, I listened to it 5 times in a row in the car driving to, up to the Grand Canyon. So, yeah.
Did you find at all the fact that there were so many singles released before? Was it 6 tracks, I think, wasn't there, before the album release? Did you find that diluted the impact of listening to the album as a whole?
No.
You still
I thought it helped the album.
Okay.
Because they saved the best for last with I Wish You Were Dead.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat that song. It really is. I mean, I showed it to my wife. She's like, oh, I wish you were dead. I don't know about those lyrics, but I said, just listen. So we played it 3 times going to the casino. That's what she likes to do. She likes to gamble.
It was, I think it was last year, you know, talking about the album release, and Mackie said to me they were planning on bringing out a song on Valentine's Day called I Wish You Were Dead. And I was like, spitting my beer out, like, what, you're bringing out a song called I Wish You Were Dead on Valentine's Day? And it's like, yeah, it's gonna be,
I think that's genius, don't you think?
That was genius? I mean, it was absolute genius, but at the time I was like, what the fuck, okay, fair enough, that's one way of delivering a message, I suppose. But
yeah,
actually, what I love is the video completely changes the story.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll get to the Oxygen video is pretty intense. They have some intense videos.
Yeah, that Oxygen. Yeah.
The Oxygen video makes me never want to take a bath. I mean, but there's, you know, it being a musician, you listen, and I just talked to my buddy about that. You listen to songs in 2 different ways, musician ears and fan ears. So, you know, I listen to songs differently. And then sometimes, honestly, I got to turn off my musician ears because then I'll get too critical. You don't want to get...
Knowing what I do about your own music and your guitar playing style, it's pretty far removed from Lacuna Coil style. Is there any influence from them on your music whatsoever? I mean, they seem like different worlds. Is there any crossover?
It is. I got to be honest with you. I'm bipolar when it comes to music. My first record I did was punk music. We released a punk record back in 96, and we opened up for Motorhead and all that blah, blah. But then I'm doing that new age that I show you. And like I said, Rodrigo y Gabriela, which is, you know, the 2 acoustic players, it's 2 different worlds. So like it's almost like waking up in the morning and going, okay, do I want to wear pants or do I want to wear shorts? Kind of like that, you know. And my acoustic band, The Reunion, is my heart and soul. But when it comes to like heavy music, I have always enjoyed female heavy singers, from, you know, Christina, and then I like, honestly, I love female singers from Stevie Nicks, who we're gonna go see this year, Gwen Stefani when she was in No Doubt and stuff. I've always loved female singers. Like Christina really was the wow, this is different for me when you had her singing and Andreas doing that. I'm like, well, this was totally different when I first heard them back in 2000, whatever the Ozfest tour they run. So that's when it started off. So, and she is like the queen. She is. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah,
for sure.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay. Well, we've talked an awful lot about everything except perhaps, and this is one question I ought to perhaps leave to Matt, because it's the one that he always asks, always ends interviews with. And it is the most important question to ask.
Absolutely.
What does Lacuna Coil mean to you?
Community. Me able to sit here in Phoenix and talk to you guys from all over the world. It's a different breed of fans, you know, like I was saying that there's something about Lacuna Coil fans and their vibe that it's the best I can say, closeness of one. Okay, as far as a band goes, the fans, everybody's authentic. I believe everybody's real, you know, and we're all kind of weird in times, and you're okay with that. Hmm. So yeah, if there was one word, I'd say it would be authenticity.
Amazing.
Big word.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
On the nose, Tom.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being part of it. That's what I'll say. Thank you for being authentic and joining us.
You know
what?
As bad as COVID was, it was great in other ways. And we got to met a lot of people like you guys through it. So look at that.
Yeah.
Just look at that. I mean,
the Lacuna Coil community became stronger because of COVID. Think about that.
I mean, I don't think Nickelback fans have. No, I'm kidding. Just bashing at Nickelback.
Nothing wrong with Nickelback.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just saying that Lacuna Coil fans, it's just a special breed.
Yeah.
A breed of fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your commentary. Thank you for telling us all about it. Are you going to stay with us to review Oxygen?
I sure am.
Feel like you should. We are making our way quite slowly, I think it's fair to say. It's like a fine wine, right? You sip it. You don't chug
steadily,
it.
Steadily. Steady progress, and you appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, yes, we are making our way through Sleepless Empire, and we've finally arrived at song two.
Right? Well, how long have you guys been doing this?
Forever.
I mean... technically, for Sleepless Empire, since the album came out, so you know, less than a year. We're fine. But we've done one so far, and now we're on to number two. So you know, we're basically going to massage this bad boy until the next album comes out. That's how this actually works. But don't tell anybody our trade secrets. anyway, so we're on Oxygen. Who wants to start off and give us a review of Oxygen? Who's it going to be?
You can.
Me. Okay. All right. All right. So Oxygen. Alrighty, okay, so let me think. Second song on the album starts. I love the screaming, you know, the kind of the angry Christina at the beginning of it. I really love the way that she's got a couple of lines, and then it kicks in with the heavy bass, and then Andrea's growl vocals, which are just progressively good throughout this album. And as you kind of alluded to earlier, Todd, the production quality on the whole album is really, really good. I really like how it's delivered here. There's an edginess to it. The bass has got that pounding, you know, in your face kind of thing. You've got Andrea with the growls. And I think the lyrics are pretty simple. There's nothing particularly sophisticated about these lyrics, But that is actually to its advantage, especially when it comes to the chorus. So we've got a kind of classic Christina kicks in with the chorus. And I think the simplicity of it very much turns it into one of quite a few earworms on this album, right? It's just the chorus in Oxygen is absolutely a crowd pleasing sing along, right? It just is. It's simple, it's effective, it's different from the chorus. I think lyrics wise, I probably like the kind of the background growl vocals from Andrea, like, you know, we're fading from the inside, it's an inner struggle. It kind of reinforces the core message of the song, about that kind of stuck in a toxic relationship kind of feeling. I was going to feel trapped, right? You know, you're trapped and you're looking for a way to breathe in a number of different ways.
Claustrophobic.
Yeah, exactly. You're feeling claustrophobic. Claustrophobic is a really, really good way to express it. For me, it's just a feeling of kind of trap where you cannot escape. On an emotional level, on a physical level, you're prepared to battle for it. You got your inner demons telling you, pushing you down. I mean, we see relationship conflict come up quite a lot in Lacuna Coil songs over the years. So this is not new to them. Okay, they are, as we know, that they have always said they are very much defined by their own experiences. They are inspired by their own experiences. You get a sense that this song itself is, I'm not necessarily suggesting it's cathartic or it's a release, but it's kind of, it's an expression of what it's like to be in a challenging relationship. And fuck me, it's angry. Isn't it an angry song? My God, Christina is really angry in this song. She's letting rip, right? And I think that really comes across really well. There is this kind of, one of the highlights for me, and when I say highlights for me, that is that it's different, is the reprise and return from Christina, okay, which we see. And structurally, this song reminds me a lot of Layers of Time from Black Anima. It reminds me a lot of that. In fact, in preparation for the podcast today, I listened to Oxygen 3 or 4 times, and then I thought, Layers of Time. And I put Layers of Time on. It's not the same song, don't get me wrong, but there's a structure there. And it brought back a sense of familiarity. When I reviewed Sleepless Empire as an album, I said that it felt like it drew, or the songs on the album drew on different parts of their career, all right? And Oxygen was one of those songs that I felt it was came from their more current kind of style. That is to say, the kind of delirium leading into a Black Anima style. I mean, that was kind of in that era. So it's a modern building on a modern style. And yeah, that's Oxygen, really. I like the song a lot. It's not my favourite song on the album. I think it's a really good single. We're not reviewing the video today, but as you've alluded to already, Todd, the video is really good. We definitely need to come back and, you know, dissect that with a scalpel. But the song itself is an absolute solid song and a familiar song as you go from the unfamiliar of The Siege and then into this song. It's a good transition into the rest of the album, is what I'm saying. There you go. That's Oxygen. Dave, do you want to go?
I don't think there's any point. You pretty much covered it all.
Yeah.
You really have said everything. I think the standout comment I would perhaps make is, for me, it's all about the chorus. There's almost a very much a divide between the verses and the chorus, and I won't say it stops dead and sort of starts again, a very obvious break between the hostility and the pummeling of the verse, and then it switches completely in pace and feeling into this enormous chorus. So I've kind of mixed feelings, in actual fact, about this. So I don't know if it's a really, really good thing to have these two different elements, or whether it takes away from the song in dividing it. So jury's still out, really. But the chorus, absolutely immense. And yet when they play it live, it's, you know, you're standing at the, you're hollering it full volume, because you need to join in. You can feel that connection, and it's an absolute crowd pleaser. So
I'll ask you a question, because I know what you mean about the choir. Maybe a question for all of you, actually. Sorry for interjecting, but it's something just I know we've got two vocal lines, right? We've got Andrea and Christina, and sometimes they are conveying opposed or you know, opposing views, different views. Sometimes it's the song isn't sophisticated enough to do that, and that's not criticism, it's just the way it is. Sometimes they're just bouncing the vocal lines back and forth, but conveying the same message from the same viewpoint, and other times there is that back and forth. Do you think that Oxygen is two different viewpoints, or do you think it's a singular viewpoint, lyrics-wise?
Two.
Do you think it's two, Mike? What about you, Todd? One or two?
When reading the lyrics, I think it's one, because like you're talking to your mate. Your oxygen is not enough to save me. I think it's one. You know,
you think
what
it's
saying?
One. Mike thinks it's two.
I do.
Dave, yeah. What do you think?
It does sound like more like a call and response, but. The thing is, it's all open to interpretation, and this is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why none of us are wrong, right?
No,
unless one of the band come in and go, it's definitely two, but then at which point we go, yeah, well, you should have already told
but me. You'll never know, it could be three,
it could
be five,
yours, mine, and the truth.
Because you know, the reason it bounced into my head was because you said it felt like there was a break between the chorus and the verses, and that made me wonder whether or not. It wasn't just Andy and Chris.
Very deliberate.
About, yeah, it was a deliberate to be a challenge response. So, because there's this line in it which I find, it's the first line of the chorus while we're on this, that I find probably the most interesting line in the entire song, because it leads to a lyrical confusion for me, which is, your oxygen is not enough to save me. Okay, which suggests to me, at least, that the person that's referring to the your oxygen is trying to, it is a positive thing. Like, you're trying to get me out of this, right? You're trying to give me a way out. You're trying to provide me with a way to breathe.
And then your breath is feeling lighter. You float.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and then you know, it's literally, I'm trapped in toxic waters. I forgot to breathe, which. Again, suggests that I'm trapped in a toxic situation, but you are giving me something, but it's not enough. And that feels like it could be a two
backwards
people talking.
Backwards and forward.
Yeah. Because you've got, you know, the Andrea thing, you know, when I look for confrontation, you hesitate, run away. What's that? Is that someone in a really toxic relationship trying to force a fight, an abusive thing, a gaslighting type relationship? So I want to create a fight here. And then you pull away. And then your Christina says, your oxygen is not enough to save me. Is Christina saying, you've given me oxygen, but you keep removing bits of it? You're not really helping me at all here. You're basically just gaslighting me. You're making me feel worse by pretending.
It's all false.
It's all false. So that's why I just don't know. Because, again, on Todd's point, it could just be. There is a third party here.
It's straight on cut the bullshit. We're falling apart. I think it's straight on just.
Yeah. Just one person.
You're getting hammered. But can I just make one comment about that song when it came out? That was my lyric in my head, and it still is for 2025. I float on crimson waters.
Yeah.
I just, as simple as that could be, that lyric is genius. I float on crimson waters. That's
a very dark
it's,
lyric.
It's interesting to say that the third point of view, you know, saying about two sections, if there's the third point of view, it changes mood for that element as well. It breaks and it does stop dead, and it goes into this, the floaty, you know, breath is getting lighter, I float in crimson water segment. That is the third movement, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a bridge section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's death.
Well, I mean, there's so many ways of interpreting this song.
Do you know what it gives me vibes of? I mean, you mentioned before, we're fading from the inside, it's an inner struggle fight. That was my favourite bit that I highlighted. Mm. But that, like, for me, that breath is getting lighter gives me like a Lana Del Rey type vibe.
Yeah.
That you've never ever heard, you've maybe never heard or very, very rarely heard in a record, especially when it's so, it's pedestrian to me, the song, but in a very, very good way with what everything that's going on with it, with the bass, the guitar in the background all the time. I think that that's what makes it work. And then it also, when you're saying it, it links other things from previous albums, it for me gives almost the Ghost Woman and the Hunter vibes with some of it.
Because of the lyric.
How it struck.
Yeah. Because of that.
You know what? You know, when you look at that, those two sentences or lyrics, my breath is getting lighter and then I float on crimson waters. That's two different things.
Yeah.
You're finally free. The oxygen is, you're finally free from the subject and the situation that you're in. I think, but we've got three different opinions and different vibes and three different interpretations, and all three of us are probably wrong, which is great.
Yeah, so sorry, I jumped in on that and didn't give you a chance to finish your thoughts, Dave, before we kind of ask the others.
Well, no, I think that's it. And it's better to have that cohesive conversation between all of us that...
I would like to know
who wrote... It covers everything I was thinking.
I'm just curious, who wrote those lyrics?
That will probably be... it would be Andrea and Christina usually share all the lyrics,
but
right?
Like... Which
I can
line?
I can guarantee it won't be Mackie. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
We could. I think.
You know.
Probably. They may not remember because they tend to collaborate very closely on the lyric writing and do it together. But clearly there'll be people coming up with original ideas. I feel like so far at least, this song has a certain poetry. Now, I don't think all Lacuna Coil songs have that kind of poetry. I think some of them are, I'm not going to say overly simplistic, because that's not unfair. That's unfair. But some of them are more poetic than others and therefore and open to interpretation. This song feels like it is more open to interpretation. And do you know what? Okay. I think you've hit something there, like when you said the Ghost Woman and the Hunter, because it does, obviously musically very different. But lyrically,
structure-wise,
it has that. Yeah.
It's the link to the past, isn't it?
Sound-wise, I still say there's a layer of time vibe there because of that slow repeat and then the return. Kind of is becoming a bit of a classic sound for them.
Yeah.
And the structure. I mean, sorry, coming from a musician standpoint again, the structures on a lot of these songs are really catchy. Mm.
Yeah.
If you more than the past, would you say? Do you agree? I mean, don't you think this is really some more of the catchier stuff?
Yeah.
Or?
Oh, yeah. It's an earworm. It's the sort of song that you want to sing along to.
I think it will grow even more the more that we see it live. So the European tour, and then if there's an American tour and festivals.
Yeah.
If you ask us that question in a year, 18 months, it'll be even more of an earworm and even more...
Yeah, the songs that last the longest, and I think this is the same for every band, I don't know what you think, Todd, but the songs that have got the greatest longevity are the songs that go well down live, right? Because they're always... They are the ones that the band is breathing year in, year out, long after the album's had its cycle. You know, we've got the songs that really people want to hear, whether it's Enjoy the Silence, whether it's Spellbound, whether it's Heaven's a Lie. They are the songs that were popular off of those albums, and they stand the test of time, right? So it will be songs like Oxygen.
But like when they played those 9 songs, they didn't include like Heaven's a Lie, and I think a lot of people, you know, maybe, you know, that was okay.
I think there's a part of me that was there's a little bit disappointed if you come away from the Kula Kula song and you've not got Swamped or Heaven's
Alive. Have
but
you,
maybe that's just me being old school. So
I mean, just as a quick question, that it doesn't even have to be Lacuna Coil. Is there ever a song that, let's just retire it? Like, if I never heard Paranoid or Iron Man, like, by Sabbath again, Do you have that? Like, I'm good with that song live or on the radio or
whatever. Do you mean a Lacuna Coil song that should be retired?
Even a Lacuna Coil song.
Enjoy the silence to me.
I think we've all got an opinion, and it's all probably enjoy the silence.
It needs to be silenced.
You know, I mean, I like what if you ask me, you want to hear I Like It or Heaven's a Lie on the set list, you know, I'm going to say I like it.
I would pay more money to see I Like It back on the set list than to hear
it.
That would be awesome.
I Like It is a great song. It's an amazing song. Okay.
Yeah. Fragile, if that came back on the set list.
And there's so many songs that they've got in their back catalogue that I would like to.
Heaven's a Lie is the equivalent of Enter Sandman for them, I think.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
That,
yeah.
Yeah,
never go.
We're good with Enter Sandman.
Yeah,
but so Todd, because we got talking on all kind of different subjects here. So I'm going to bring you back. So we're going to go with Mike last because he started, but he didn't really finish. So I'm going to come on to you. Give me your thoughts, uninterrupted by our stupid Englishman. All right, give me your thoughts on Oxygen.
The whole song in itself, I mean, it's as far as it goes. I mean, it connects with a lot of the older songs, you know, about a codependent relationship. And like I was telling you, or claustrophobic. I mean, you're claustrophobic from this person. I think every person in the world in a relationship, married, not married, girlfriend, ex-girlfriend can relate to that. You know, it's a struggle. I mean, and you're wasting time. I'm wasting time with this person. And it's an everyday battle. At the end, I'm going to fight. Am I going to fight? Am I fighting you? Or am I fighting to get out of this? Or am I fighting myself at the end? You know, and you're wasting my time in this everyday battle. I'm fighting. You know, there's so much to it. And with all that coiled in there, you got one hell of a catchy song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
completely agree.
Mike. Yeah, I interjected a bit before, we've covered it all. I think for me it's pedestrian, like I say, but in a very good way. There's a lot going on with it. It's not your average go bit of there's a bit going on in the background musically. It's constantly there, especially with the bass line in it throughout. Mm-hmm. You've got the bit of the bass and almost guitar solo virtually at the end when Creed does a Lana Del Rey turn. I think that bit, when it first came out, it's just so, it gives me the chills almost.
Yeah.
There's something about that line and the way she sings it. It's just absolutely fantastic. And I think that there are so many good songs on the album, and for this being the second one, I think it's dipping your toe into the water and swallowing half your leg.
Crimson Water, of course.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
There's very few negatives for me about the song. That, as a second song in, it's faultless for me.
Yeah.
It's a like I asked my wife when I cook for her. I never, is it good? No, I always go 1 to 5. What do you like? Oh, 4.7. You know, yeah. I give this song a solid 4.7.
All right. Well, we give it out of 10, so I'm going to double that.
And
I'm going to make that 9.5.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we do fives. I don't know why. It's just
fine. Well, I think we should have done fives, but we ended up doing tens. It just
yeah.
So okay, let's go down. Let's give a rating on this.
You can't count that high.
So, it's Dave, marks out of 10 for you.
Because there's a couple of elements I'm not too keen on. One of which is actually Christina shouting in it. I would say is it a great Lacuna Coil song? Yes. Is it an immortal Lacuna Coil song? No. It's a safe 7.
7 out of 10. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Mike.
9.5.
Ooh. Or 4.7 in old money.
Yeah.
Old money. The dollar's not worth much here anymore.
All right. So, Todd, out of 10.
Oh, out of 10. 8.
8 out of 10. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 8 out of 10. I say that. Yeah. I think Dave's being a little bit harsh.
Yeah.
But maybe I do like Christina. Anger Christina is cool.
Dave, do you have the critical musician ear?
No, it's just the grumpy old man ear.
Yeah, he knows what he's like, and he likes what he bloody well knows. Okay, so we've got a 9.5 from Mr. Dyer, who flawless, great song. I've got an 8. Todd, you're an 8, and we got a, was it a 7 or seven out of 10? Okay, that's a pretty good number when you add it all up in aggregate, right? For Oxygen.
Definitely.
Quality song. Looking forward to playing it again, hearing it live, and seeing how it compares to the rest of the songs on Empire. So, yeah.
Sure.
What did? Yeah, they played that live. They did. I can almost name the set list from top to bottom.
They did. I'm gonna find it now.
Yeah. What was the set list? What was the 9 song? I mean, they didn't do.
They never played it live in the UK.
Let me have a look.
It was the third song.
When did I see them? Laser Time, Reckless, Host in the Shadow, Tightrope. No, that can't be it. Let me have
No.
Don't worry about us, guys. You just carry on doing your own thing.
Laser Time, Reckless, Host in the Shadow, Gravity, Wish You Were Dead, Swamped, Blood, Tears, Dust, Oxygen, Never Done.
There we go. Very cool set list. Wish I was there.
No, I like it, but.
No.
Master petition. We
we'll get the petition.
Like master petition. I actually asked Mackie that.
That the Spellbound remix from Matt.
Yes.
I drove them to In-N-Out Burger one time, and they're in the back of my car. I said, Mackie, this was on the Black Animal tour, and I said, are you going to play Sword of Anger tonight? We're not ready for that one yet.
It requires them to practice, you know, put a bit of effort in. Black Heart.
Yeah. That was a great song, man.
Yes. For sure.
We could sit here for hours and talk.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you should definitely come and join us again, mate, and we can talk.
I would love to. I'm glad you guys invited me. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. We're all friends, right? It's just like it's a pub conversation. It's what we say to people when they're coming on the podcast. It's a pub conversation. All right. So if you enjoy hanging out with friends,
yeah,
a drink in the pub, and that's what this place
is. It's nice to talk about something that I like, because most of my friends don't even know who Lacuna Coil is.
Yeah.
You know, but,
I feel like you need an upgrade, mate.
Yeah,
I have my musician friends, but like my friends from high school, you know, they're into who is that? The rap, they're all that rap stuff that's just.
Most of my friends that I hang out with on a regular basis they go, you've been on another one of those Lacuna Coil tours? Yeah.
Do you ever notice you have a lot of friends that don't have your, like old friends, old school, this is that don't have your.
Well, I feel like old friends are a bit like family, right? You know, you choose your friends, but you don't choose your family. So if you've known people since high school, you're committed to maintaining a relationship, even when you go your separate ways. And then there's the newer friends you find on the way, which join you at the part of the journey where you've got a reason to be friends, right? And it could be because of Lacuna Coil. So you've got your newer friends that you've generated over the years of being a Lacuna Coil fan. And then you've got the people that are still friends from high school. And they're like, why are we still friends? I don't fucking know, because we know each other, I suppose. You don't even like pasta. You know, so those are... I'm going to get into a rant about friendships if I'm not careful.
You need to put that into a sound clip so I can send it to my friend.
Well, you'll be able to listen to that later when we put it online. So there you go.
It's awesome.
Right. We I know we could be probably talking all afternoon and all night, but we really ought to bring this to a close.
I got
to
get to the casino.
There we go. Don't let us stop your gambling addiction, mate. Right. We are going to bring it to a close there on episode 171 of the Empty Spiral podcast. Todd, it's been an absolute delight having you with
Thank
us today.
You.
Thank you so much for coming along and talking
Thank
about your
you.
Experiences and so on and so forth. It's been a delight.
I appreciate it, and we'll see you down the road.
You will indeed. Yeah, we'll see you behind the venue, or on, you know, standing by the tour bus, or on the barrier at some stage in a venue in Arizona.
Yeah,
covered in sun cream and still feeling very hot at some stage in the future.
I'll bring the sunblock.
There we go. All right, that's the commitment to friendship. You bring the sunblock. All right, good stuff. All right. Well, we're pretty much done here this week. I hope you've enjoyed our little conversation. Whether you agree or disagree, feel free to throw us your comments. Are we right? Are we wrong? What is oxygen all about? You can explain it to us or cite your opinion. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Discord.
And pumpkin recipes appreciated.
And pumpkin recipes are apparently appreciated, as well as any tips for keeping them alive in the hot summer. Right? Right, Dave? Uh-huh.
Yep, no? Absolutely.
Apparently water and light and stuff. It's all very naturey. I cut my grass. That's about as close to nature as I get. anyway, I hope you've had fun with us. Do connect with us. If you want to be here on the podcast, just reach out to us in any one of the channels. Find one of us online. Come to the Empty Spiral Discord server. Ping us on Instagram. You'll find us if you really want to be on the podcast. And we welcome you, right? We have fun. And I'd like to think that everybody joins us. Has fun too.
This was great for me. I really enjoyed it. So I appreciate you having me on.
There we go. Thanks, Todd. That's all the review we need, sir. All right. Brilliant stuff. Right. Well, I don't want to keep anybody. So I'm just going to say, whatever it is you do, listen to more Lacuna Coil. And I bid you adieu.
Cheers, everyone. Cheers.
Bye for now.
Cheers.